scream out your favorite fruit or vegetable. Are you ready? One, two, three. Kale. That wasn't even part of anything. I just wanted to wake you up a little bit. So I'm here today to kind of go over some fun, interactive ways that you can be work. This is really loud. I have a loud voice anyway, but I feel like I have to stand back here. To kind of work with families, to work with families and children. By a raise of hand, how many people here work with children? How many people here work with families who have children? Okay. So you know when you're dealing with children or you're dealing with families with children, you have to present this health information in a fun and interesting way. Otherwise, people will begin to shut down and glaze over. So I'm going to go over some of the techniques that we use, and we actually did some of the trainings with Chicanes, and kind of what we do at the museum in general. Left is to... Okay. I disclose I'm not trying to sell you anything. See, Mom, okay, the Children's Museum of Manhattan. It sounds like a weird fit when you think about health and nutrition. Let's be honest, we're experts on early childhood and we're experts on families and kind of creating educational experiences that are interactive for children. So how did we get involved in health? It's been an interesting story and it's been really exciting. I was telling the panel today, right now Michelle Obama is at one of our programs in New Orleans where we launched one of our Eat, Sleep, Play early childhood curriculum programs. So that's really exciting. I'm not there, but I'm there in spirit. So anyway, the Children's Museum started with the NIH, and what we did is we adapted the We Can curriculum to kind of target an early childhood audience. It's exciting to know that right now we are in the process of being approved potentially by the USDA as the first national curriculum, early childhood curriculum, I should say. So that's really exciting. How did we really do this, right? Basically, it's been with these great partnerships. So the Eat, Sleep, Play initiative involves many different things. It has we have an exhibit opening actually on Thursday. So I have to get back really quickly. And it's the first health exhibit in New York City. So we're really excited about that. We have this curriculum that was developed and adapted, part of the NIH We Can curriculum. We have family programs at the museum. We offer professional development, similar to what we did with the Chicanes program. And then we have products as well. We work with Dwell Studio, which is a design studio, and they have developed a new portion plate and cup that we're going to be hopefully putting in Target and Walmart stores. And we are also going to be, you know, distributing it to low-income communities and kind of get the parents and the children to be active. So there's a lot going on. So how are we managing this? Well, we have a lot of partners to help. If I can emphasize one thing today besides fun and interactive ways on educating the families and the children, it's about creating really dynamic partnerships. So we've teamed up with the NIH, Chicanes, the Mayor's Office, the Department of Health, the New York City Housing Authority, Green Card Initiative. We have Hunter College School of Public Health, CUNY Professional Development, Nurse Family Practitioner, Department of Ed, and the list goes on and on. And basically what we do with all these partnerships is we really try to figure out what can we offer, what can they offer, and how do we kind of group it together to offer the best services to the families. We do not claim to be health experts. Although I have a health background and a nutrition background, we definitely team up with experts in the fields, doctors, pediatricians, nutritionists, masters of public health, doctorate of public health, just all different types of people, and we make sure all our information is vetted. Because like I said before, we're the experts at making this information fun. The New York City Obesity Prevention Consortium and Management Consortium, basically what we did is we developed these professional developments that kind of focused on how to take this information and present it to families in a fun way. And there were a lot of different creative programming that we did, and I think you guys did a great job at kind of outlining what the consortium was all about. And then here are some great comments that we've gotten from the field, the nutritionists at Ryan Center in Harlem. They loved the training, and they were really, the parent ambassador ended up developing a weekly after-school-based curriculum. What our whole goal is to really give you tools, and why I'm here today is to really give you some tools to kind of take back with you into the field and to share, and this way, you know, the information becomes sustainable and it's kind of, you know, beyond this 3-year grant, it keeps on going. All right. I'm moving away from the microphone. You're gonna have to excuse me. Are you all up for playing around a little bit right now? I want everyone to stand up. Stand up. We're all going to be interactive right now, all right? I need you to just shake it out a little bit. Shake it out. Stretch it out. At the end of a long day, you guys have been at this for a couple of days. All right? Stretch it out. I'm going to teach you guys a song. This really should be on YouTube. I should really start traveling with this song. That's how famous it is. But I'm going to teach it to you today. And really, what it does is it empowers children to start eating fruits and vegetables. Now, we all say, and I'm sure you've heard it all in the last couple of days, you know, eat fruits and vegetables, it's healthy. But what does that mean to be healthy? A child doesn't understand what that means. You have to talk in terms of superpowers or, you know, what is that going to do for your body? All right, so I'm going to teach you a song. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Ready.
You are going to glue it on our body. Now, I need you to picture a little bit, you to the body benefits, and it really has been useful. There are different ways you can see that we do it. We do it with big butcher paper on the floor, where we have the parents get traced, and then the kids all color it in, and then they're able to kind of put it on the body together. And then there are other ways. There's this little man. I mean, you can make modifications based on the different people you're working with, and these are used as stickers. So these are just the types of lessons we try to incorporate. With everything that we do, I try to do a song, a movement, we try to do an art activity, and then we also really focus on literacy. We choose books that really relay these health messages, and it kind of ties it into a nice tight messages for parents and also for the kids. Another big hit is our Go Slow Whoa traffic light. So everybody knows the traffic light. Has everybody heard the Go Slow Whoa? It's part of We Can, yeah? So Go foods are foods that you want to eat all the time. So if I said watermelon, you would say?
Go.
They're trained. All right, if I said popcorn, you would say?
Go.
And if I said a donut, you would say? I need some reaction, like, whoa, all right? So that the kids make all different types of signs, and you can see that, you know, they've taken it a step further. Our initiative has really spread, and people take the information, and then they create what they have available. Here's the perfect portion plate. Before it became my plate, we had this family meal plate where we used model magic, and there's different versions where they're using their drawing, but also you see in the bottom the model magic. And the whole message here is half fruits and vegetables. What we really try to do is give them different materials to use. You don't always want to give them crayons and paper. You really want to change it up a little bit and get them excited about what they're doing. This is calcium and bones. So what we try to emphasize here is, you know, building bones is really important, and you want your bones to be strong. So we take the balsa wood, and you see the glue. We glue these little skeletons onto balsa wood because the glue serves as the calcium. So it's really the glue that binds to the bone. So we try to make this a real clear message. Here's our famous refrigerator makeover. So if I was to hand this out to you right now, and by the way, a lot of this, all these resources can be shared on our website, but soon, as I said, hopefully this will be ready for national dissemination, so everyone will be able to get a toolkit. So what's in your refrigerator? If I was to ask everyone right now to draw, open their refrigerator and think about the things that are located in your refrigerator and to draw it, how many people think they could potentially do that? How many people know what's in their refrigerator? Well, you've been gone for 4 weeks. Besides the bottle of wine and the stale milk, do most people in here tend to keep their refrigerator organized? Organized? Yeah. Okay. We're all health conscious here, right? Everybody's into health, so I would think the answer would be pretty fairly positive. When we're doing this in the field, a lot of the times people don't even realize the importance of organizing a refrigerator or what goes in a refrigerator. So we actually then have them do a healthy makeover, which is an addition since we've worked with the Chicanies, and figure out, you know, that show, A Home Makeover. So we do refrigerator makeover, and we try to really get them to think about ways they can make their refrigerator look nicer. Oh, okay, this is my favorite. So we do this demonstration called the Scoop on Poop. Now, I have to be honest with you, I'm a little shy, okay? So I don't necessarily love to talk about this. So this might be a little too much information for people, but kids love poop, okay? They love to talk about their poop, and let's be honest, poop's really important, right?
Yes.
Right. Why is poop important? Why is poop important? Anyone from the audience?
It's part of the digestive process.
Yeah, it's part of the digestive process. If you look at your poop, it can tell you a lot about how healthy you are. So when we're working with the children, we really want to get them looking at their poop. So it's just funny. I found this chart. This is a great chart. This was developed by a doctor in Bristol, England, and basically was developed for people because they were shy about talking about their poop. And when you go to the doctor, one of the questions they should be asking is, you know, do you have regular bowel movements? How does it look? So this doctor created this chart so you can actually go and point to which
And then you give it a little bit of water, right? Where do we get our water from in our diet? You mix it around. This is open-ended. Fruits and vegetables, thank you. So when you're eating the proper amount of fruits and vegetables, you're getting a good amount of water, and therefore your body is very happy, right? I think I just put in a little bit too much water. So you have to adjust it as you go along. And a little bit more. All right. So you have a nice consistency going on here. And what we do is we cut out, we take a little piece of a Ziploc bag and you cut the bottom. And I'm just going to show you one example of this. And basically, you're showing the children about, you know, you're teaching them about digestion, but you're also letting them know there are certain foods that are going to give us a lot of water, like fruits and vegetables. And then there are different types of food that might make us dehydrated and not give us. So what kind of food would that be? What kind of food would dehydrate us? Yeah, high sodium food, right? Donuts, french fries. All right, so here's my poop. You put it in the plastic bag. Oh, this is going to get really fun right now. And it smells delicious. You know, it's kind of, we have them eat it afterwards. I'm not lying to you. That's a little bit crossing the line. So basically, this is going to get messy. So basically, we show them that the food goes through the digestive system, and then as it's coming out the anus, a poop should be very easy to push out. Okay? And it's supposed to be in a long, beautiful S shape, which maybe I had a little bit too much water going on here. There you go. All right? And so then we would show them in the cup that it has a beautiful long S shape. And that's kind of how easy the poop should be flowing. Now, if you're constipated, right, and you don't have enough water, okay, what's that going to be like? That's going to be a little bit harder to get out. So then you give the mixture a little bit of oatmeal and a little bit of cocoa, and you just use less water. And what ends up happening, and I think you guys get the idea, is you're going to put it through the bag, and as you're pushing, it's harder to get out. And kids are able to understand that this is constipation. And constipation is a big problem, okay? And a lot of kids experience it. It's more and more doctors now, and I don't know the statistics on it, but one of the biggest complaints they're getting from children is their bellies are hurting because of constipation. Why are they so constipated? Because they're not getting enough water, and they're eating a lot of processed food. So it's a really big problem. When we explain it in this way, I mean, it's fun. It's a little, I hope you're not eating dinner after this, but I mean, they enjoy it. And what we do is we pass it out and everyone gets to make their own poop, and you can see how it goes through the digestive system. Okay, any questions on that? All right, and let's not forget about our friend urine either. Urine's really important. You know, the color of your urine will tell you if you're dehydrated or not, if you need more water. Our exhibit that's opening up this Thursday has a crawl through, how many, like 24-foot small intestine crawl through, where the kids can crawl through and they have to get by poop stalactites. So they have to crawl through these poop stalactites. They crawl, excuse me, but they crawl out the anus, and they are sitting next to a huge, giant, talking toilet bowl. And this talking toilet bowl has a British accent, and it's called the Royal Flush. And basically what it's doing is it's, you know, the kid goes over and flushes the toilet, and it's kind of looking at the poop and being able to say, should I have more water? Should I drink less water? You know, am I dehydrated? Am I having too many processed foods? That's the message. It's a simple message. Kids like things to be disgusting. So the better your demos are at them getting dirty and disgusting, the more success you will have with them actually remembering what you're trying to say. And parents, the same thing. I've met a lot of parents who really, they're like, oh, what's wrong with type 1 poop? Well, that's called constipation, and they're used to actually having that kind of poop their whole life. They don't know any different. That's not normal. And that's not healthy. So you need to understand and help them to realize there's ways to make changes. Okay, we're done with the poop conversation. Moving on.
All right. Energy balance. That's another big thing we talk about. This is easy and can be done anywhere. You can just put on the music. I don't have music with me, but I wish I did because I'd get you guys dancing. But dancing is really a fun way to get the kids and the parents moving. And it's free and they can do it in their house. And it's just, it's a great way to show them that they're burning off energy. And so let's pretend we just danced for a minute. Well, in 1 minute of dancing, we burned off one saltine cracker, a half of a gummy bear, one large grape, 7 pieces of air popcorn. And by the way, that's not combined. That's like you've only burned off half a gummy bear in 1 minute, or 7 pieces of air popcorn. And I don't know about any of you in the audience, but I definitely eat more than 7 pieces of air popcorn. So the kids get to really see. If you break it down by a minute, people can understand that, you know? To go a step further, how long do you think you would have to dance to burn off a McDonald's small French fries? Any guesses? Shout it out. A week? 2 hours. 77 minutes, okay, for a small French fries. McDonald's is actually, right now we do a lot with demonstrations on fat and sugar content, and McDonald's is actually doing a really great job, I must say, at food labeling and really putting everything on their cartons so people can see. Now the next step is educating on what that actually means, but, you know, they're getting it out there. How many people have seen the new signs in the McDonald's that say like 900 calories, but really huge, like 2 McMuffin sandwiches or something, and they're highlighting the calories, but they're making the calories so big that it almost looks like 900 points or you won at something. I don't know. They're making it seem so amazing, like, oh, 900. I wish I had 2,000 calories because it seems so fun. Did anyone see that yet? I want a discussion on that. That's all right. To go along with what we do a lot of family handouts, and these are things that the parents and the families, and if you go online, I've shared a couple of handouts with you guys, so you can always download it and use it. We have them in English and in Spanish, and it's really important to kind of get the activities going, you know, after the session, after the training, and so this is a good way to do that. So we have different, you know, on all our topic areas, it's an 11-week program, but what we did for Chicanes is we've modeled it into different professional development trainings. It's all based on the information in the curriculum. We've created these new visuals, actually. These are called the Hidden Truth. So this has been really useful within the community so far. They've been hanging the posters all around, and basically it's just an in-your-face image of, you know, the different hidden truths and this is new, actually. We didn't share this with Chicanes, but from our relationship with Chicanes, the health initiative really has grown tremendously, so we keep adding more tools and you know, different partnerships as we go along. And this is our Eat, Sleep, Play, Building Health Every Day exhibit, which I'm really excited about. It's a 3,500 square foot permanent exhibit, the first of its kind in New York City. And we have different stations over here. I wish there was like a pointing thing, but you could see the eat area. And really there we have this humongous kind of super green cart. So it's like a farmer's market, and kids can kind of go in and crawl through and pretend they're a vendor. And we have the Super Sprouts, which is an animated characters that kind of Colby the Carrot, who has great vision. So different vegetables and fruits that have these great superpowers. In the center is called the Decision Center. It's this huge brain, and this is really important as far as Eat, Sleep, and Play goes, is getting kids and their parents to know that they have choices, to know how to make a choice. With everything that's going on today, it's really hard to make a choice. So a kid can crawl through the tongue into the brain center, and then they are able to learn about making healthy choices. We have the consequences area. That's where our beautiful royal flush toilet bowl is, and crawl through poop stalactite model. And then we have a whole obesity section where we really try to work on, you know, talking about diabetes and some more important health information for the parents you know, not necessarily sure what the kids will get out of it, but, you know, they'll be playing and hopefully the parents will be reading the messages, because ultimately the parents, as one of you said before, are the ones who are going to be purchasing the foods. So that's important. And then we have the play area, which is really just kind of getting kids back to the basics of playing and the importance of it, and really trying to make it fun. And, you know, a new area that's not necessarily accepted in the childhood obesity research, but you're going to see it coming out more and more now. We're working with a sleep expert in D.C., actually, and sleep, there's a big correlation between lack of sleep and the rise in the incidences of obesity. So that's not accepted right now by the NIH because they're still doing the research, but I think more and more it's going to come out, you know, the importance of sleep and the relationship it has between being healthy. Thank you very much.
So there you have it, folks, our three perspectives from the New York City Childhood Obesity Prevention Consortium. If you could please give our presenters a nice big round of applause.